Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Academus podcast. In the last episode, we had Jarar Shah from 24/7, an online e-commerce store. And it was a very interesting conversation we had about the e-commerce grocery industry with him. You can go check that out as well. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about an up-and-coming B2B e-commerce platform by the name of Dastagir. Dastagir has an aim to revolutionize the way that retailers and business are operating in Pakistan. It's like a one-stop shopping solution for businesses as compared to what we've saw in the last episode, which was one for consumers. But currently, Dastagir is operating through a mobile app, and it enables small mom-and-pop and kiryana stores to get inventory from large suppliers, and they offer next-day delivery in Karachi and Lahore. So it's kind of solving a huge problem for them at the moment. And they've done really well with their growth in Karachi and Lahore, and I think it's almost been almost 50% month-on-month growth, which is I think, really impressive. And I think we've got the most relevant person here to talk about that growth and talk about Dastagir. We have Yahya Humayun with us, the general manager of growth and customer experience for Dastagir. Yahya, how are you doing?
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for the introduction. Thanks for having me, Aram. I'm doing well, alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to have you. सबसे पहले तो I think सब viewers के लिए आप अपनी थोड़ी अपनी personal journey बताएं. How did you find Dastagir? और फिर जब मिला तो आपने पिछले कुछ सालों में जो काम किया है, if you could just kind of run us through your own journey of growth.
बिल्कुल सही. So basically, I graduated in 2016 from UCL in Lahore, and then I had a couple of corporate stints with companies like EY, Bank Al-Fala. And after that, I sort of realized that the kind of a person I am, I think everyone has a fit, right? So corporate was a little slow. That's when I sort of figured out and heard about Airlift. And then I wanted to apply there because I had heard a lot about the great stuff and the impact that it was creating in the Pakistani market. Got lucky to get in. Spent around 7 months with Airlift before COVID happened. Met a lot of great people, colleagues turned into friends over there, and then met a lot of people who then founded Dastagir. At Airlift. When COVID happened, then that's how actually Dastagir started. When COVID happened, this was a huge problem in the Pakistani market. Retailers jo the, it's a huge part of the Pakistani economy, and it could not survive with the unprecedented kism ki problem that we were facing, and these retailers didn't have any solution, so we had to have a one-stop solution for that. So that's like a mix of my personal journey and then how I met people who then went on to form Dastagir back in August last year.
Absolutely. So I just want to stop here for a second. I think you told us how up Airlift say I, and I think there's this huge trend coming about ex Airlift and ex Kareem people. They're going on to do such fantastic businesses. Could you kind of talk about your experience at Airlift? Because I'm sure that had something to do with, I mean, the kind of people that are coming out of there. It's wonderful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Airlift is a great organization. Airlift is probably like the fastest growing organization, fastest growing startup, if you say, tech enabled startup. So Pakistan mein aa rahe hain, and they're revolutionizing. Before they pivoted to the e-commerce solution, mass transit, and e-commerce. So I can talk a lot about it, but okay, it's like it's everything. It's a whole different operating model, actually. It's unheard of generally in the corporate world. You're big on solving problems, and you're always thinking, you're always experimenting, which is probably, agar main bilkul in a nutshell, if I explain. So I think solving problems and experimenting fast, learning fast and unlearning fast are some of the components, that actually do make people successful. And I think that's we need a lot more of that in Pakistan. I think that would be the
right recipe. Right. Yeah. I think a very interesting insight ke aap jaldi jaldi se as an organization bhi galtiyan kare aur unse seekhe, kind of try to adjust yourself to the market. Absolutely. So could you just kind of tell me what issues you initially saw for these Kariana stores and how did you kind of go about the process of trying to solve them?
Right. So there's a lot of problems, and it was, I think, it was a revelation. We kept learning about more and more problems. I think we still are learning about more and more problems every day. Like the major problems that we, you know, these stores, the small, medium retailers were facing. Were basically, so in lockdowns, they couldn't go out. They couldn't go out to procure their inventory. And even before the lockdown, like, you know, they couldn't, they had to close their stores because these are usually, you know, single-handedly run. And even if even if it's a family-run business, it's super hard to sort of, you know, your store is probably located to somewhere you live, and then the wholesale markets are super far away. So the one problem is going out to, you know, procure inventory. And then when you go out to procure inventory, the second problem comes is razor thin margins. Like there are no margins because, you know, when you're the ticket size is so small because there's no working capital or very low working capital. So when the ticket size is so small, you don't get those bulk discounts that, you know, large wholesalers would get. And then, you know, you have to incorporate the transport costs and then go, and then there's time, and then there's razor thin margins, then you come back. So you can't really expand your store. You don't have, you know, so one, so just to summarize it, one is price. Second is convenience. And the third is access to credit. So it's an unbanked economy. If you go to, if a retailer goes to a bank and asks for a loan, they won't get any because, you know, the regulator. So it's a problem at large, not for the banking system in Pakistan, but the banking system across the world, that, you know, mainstream banking requires a lot of proof. And, you know, you would want salary slips, and you would want, you know, I don't know, a lot of transaction history, online transaction history and stuff, just to get credit. These guys won't make the cut. So these are the three problems we identified. And then these are the three problems that we've started taking on and trying to solve it.
So great. Yeah. Currently, what are you addressing for what are kind of problem are you solving it, and how is Dastagir kind of solving these problems for them?
So we're solving all three. We provide doorstep delivery within 24 hours. We offer the best possible rates in the market, and then we also offer access to credit by partnering up with other digital lending partners, and then giving access to credit to all our retailers.
And if we could kind of zoom in on the process of solving them. Where does Dastagir's kind of financial cut come in? Maybe, you know, aap delivery unko provide kare hain, low cost provide kare hain. When you're providing that low cost, how are you able to do that? Exactly.
Right. So basically, I'll tell you. So there's a problem. There's a supply side problem, and then there's a demand side problem. So if I try to simplify it, so there's there are 2 million retailers in the country. It's a hugely populous country, and then these retailers. So if we call them like FMCG retailers, so there is someone in the market who is trying to sell a product because, you know, he or she just bought a lot of it because of getting a really good rate. But now the product is about to, you know, be expired, or the person is now fearing that this might just not get liquidated. So the supplier wants to liquidate, and then, you know, there's a buyer who wants to buy it but can't find it. So since the whole supply chain is so fragmented, that these two, the buyer and the seller, they don't know each other. And there's no way they can know each other because there's 2 million of them. They can't really have each other on speed dial. So there had to be a platform, which is a marketplace essentially, which enables anyone who wants to sell at a particular price to be connected with anyone who wants to buy at that particular price. And then that's how we make the connection. Now, if you're asking about how, you know, the company is supposed to make money, so we generally charge a listing fee to anyone who wants to come on our platform and sell their products. And so that's primarily about it. Because, you know, somebody who wants to sell is going to make a lot of money. So it's a win-win situation that, you know, they pay a fee upfront to be on, you know, be listed on the platform. And then you know, then they make money by being able to liquidate it.
Yeah. And basically, if I kind of put it in a nutshell, is that you're replacing the middleman, which was there, jo pehle ek wholesale store ki ya ek marketplace ki surat mein present tha. Would that be correct?
Not really, I would say, because so we're not here to replace anyone. We're just here to enable people. So, for example, the same person who is now selling on our platform previously. So let's say a wholesaler or let's say a distributor is selling on our platform right now. Previously, those guys could only reach out to, let's say, 500 people, 500 of retailers that they could know of or they could access through their order bookers or, you know, through their people on ground. They could reach probably 500 people. We as a platform, now that we have a supply side platform as well, where a supplier can just get registered on the app and then upload everything that they want to sell, they can just, they now have access to more than like 40,000 retailers within like 1 year on our platform. So it just expands the possibilities.
Right. And when you talk about the delivery, do you charge the store owner a delivery fee for that?
Yeah, sometimes we do. So it's like, you know, it's variable. So under a specific basket size, there's a charge, and sometimes it's free of cost.
Right, absolutely. So there was a question which kind of, and the reason I was asking about this middleman kind of situation is there is a huge problem of hoarding in Pakistan when it comes to certain seasons as well. Do you think Dastagir has that capability to kind of come in and continue that process as well, or prevent hoarding at some points?
Prevent hoarding. Something we haven't really. So I think I'll tell you what I think about it.
Okay.
So basically, since I told you like this huge. These are like 2 million people. So at all times, you know, somebody wants to sell. Everyone has different circumstances in terms of liquidation. So every now and then, somebody really does want to, sell. So the hoarding effect actually then minimizes, because there's always availability of stock. Before platforms like Dastagir, people just didn't know where to get it from. Now they do.
Yeah.
Now it's a one-stop solution, right? So for example, if you're talking about hoarding, so if I'm a retailer and there's a shortage of a particular commodity or a particular SKU in the market, I would probably have to call up 5 people and all 5 of them won't have it. I'll try harder, and then probably on the 10th call, the 10th person I reach out to, I might find one. But now I've got access to like 700, 800 suppliers on one app. So it increases the probability of it being available more conveniently and more easily.
Right. And then we've seen over the years, actually, like in the last year or so since COVID, in fact, there are a lot of similar kind of businesses that have come in Pakistan. Bazaar bhi hai, Tajir hai. Retailer, which is a KSA one, and then, you know, they just keep on coming. That must put a big question in your mind, is how do we kind of go about dealing in such a space which competitors are constantly entering in. And also, it's going to be really easy for an international competitor to maybe come in as well, because it's just relatively new in Pakistan.
Absolutely. So it's actually great for the ecosystem in general. It's great for the country. The market is super huge. If you look at similar economies like, you know, India, for example. So India has got 10 such players, which are like super old. I think almost all of them are like more than 5 years old, 3 to 5 years old. And then they together, like collectively in India, like all those players haven't been able to capture more than 1% of the entire Indian grocery market. So I think the number is still less than 1%. So like, if you look at Pakistan, it's a huge market. Like, it's great for the ecosystem for more players to come in and try to solve the problem. And there's multiple angles to the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many cities where, you know, we have the same problem. So I think it's great
to
have more competitors.
Right. But even in that, how does Dastagir kind of differentiate itself? Jis tarah se aapne kaha ek different angle hai usi masle ko solve karne ka. What's Dastagir's angle and how does that kind of differentiate them?
So A, we're not here to replace people. We're trying to enable people and we're building a marketplace. B, we're the only ones offering credit solutions, which is huge because retailers generally, so it's actually very fulfilling and I feel humbled and grateful, the whole team does, because, you know, we get calls from retailers who started working with us a couple of months ago, and some were very, very early adopters when we started off. And then now that we started giving credit solutions, which is completely Sharia compliant, retailers, these guys never had access to credit. And then now people on our team, like, we're very close to our customers. They have our personal numbers. So
absolutely,
they sometimes keep calling us and then they say, okay, recently I just got a call from one of our retailers. And he told me that, you know, it's a dream come true for him that now with access to credit, he has opened up another store for his son, which used to be, you know, unimaginable before, because there was never enough working capital. So I think that's something that we're doing differently, and we're very grateful to be doing it.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. And you can even go and look at Dastagir's website or their page, and you actually share the stories of a lot of retailers. And I think that actually those are very powerful stories. Ke jis tarah se inko enable kiya jaye, especially when it comes to credit lending system. Could you also, when you talked about the adaptability of the adoption of the technology, what was that experience like? Because when you're dealing on a B2B format, how did you kind of, how were the early days in learning to get that app or that piece of technology right?
So you mean having the retailers understand how to use the app and then acquire new customers, like early adopters.
Yeah, but also the technology even.
Yeah. So it has been a brilliant learning process. So since decades, the FMCG industry has worked with manual order bookers. So like if you pick any company, like they would have like hundreds, like 500, 600, large FMCG companies would have 500 to 600 people who would go out across the city and then take orders on a piece of paper, or some would take it on a, you know, maybe on a tablet or something. But then that would go, they would have to send manual people. What we decided very early on was, you know, we're going to educate people. We will not have a sales team, and we do not have a sales team. What we do is that we have a training and development team, basically, which goes out in the market. And then, so we believe in the concept of training the trainer. So the early team personally then trained the people who would go on the field. And then, you know, so these mom and pop stores are super busy. They don't have time. It's super hard to find time, right? So our team would go on the ground, request the retailer that, hey, I'm here to explain a value proposition to you that can make your business super easy. But, you know, just let me know whenever you're free. I'm going to wait here outside And then whenever you're free to have a chat, just let us know, we'll come in. And then the retailer is super welcoming. They say, okay, fine. It takes like roughly around 5 to 10 minutes for their counter to be fine. Mm-hmm. And then they request our team to come in. That's mm-hmm. when we tell them like, hey, so who in your store can use a smartphone or has a smartphone? Luckily, like smartphone penetration is huge, like yeah. insane. It's even, it's larger than we imagined. So everyone really has a smartphone. That's when we download the app, and then we basically ask them to, we help them sign up, and we train them on how to place their first order. So when our team goes in, the only objective is to take the first order. And then the first order has to be done from the retailer themselves. And then there's also, we also make a phone call to make sure that the retailer is actually completely satisfied with the experience. And then they're able to place an order by themselves. Over there, like we tell them about the value prop. It's super easy. Like they're super happy. They're like, oh these prices are amazing. And I'm going to get it delivered at my doorstep. So just tell me how. And then when we teach them how it worked, and then we scaled it up. We scaled it up, and that's what enabled us to reach thousands of retailers ordering organically by themselves every day.
I really like how you replaced the sales team with the training and development team.
Training and development team.
Training and development team.
Onboarding team is what we call them internally.
Right.
Because they're supposed to onboard them and then train them and educate them.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent way. And it, you know, it kind of drives home the point of you have wanting to enable the retailers. What challenges have you come across over the year as well? Because I know there's a great opportunity and you've done really well to overcome a lot of them. So what were the big challenges you faced and continue facing even?
Yeah, I think that's a, I'll tell you why it's a tough question. It's a tough question because we've shaped our mindset in a way that, you know, we intentionally try not to think of a challenge as a big challenge so that, you know, we're able to solve it. There were a lot of challenges, very interesting challenges. One was, like we talked earlier, one challenge was to figure out how, like, it was a huge problem. It has never been done before. How do we, these low literacy users, how do we build a product that is super easy for them to understand, something that they can relate to, something that they can use? So our team, like, spends a lot of time in the early days and still does, you know, to spend time and understand the behavior, understand how can we make their life more easier? How can we, you know, and then we, you know, there's so much to do. There's this always this challenge to sort of make it more easier and more convenient and more seamless. So, and then how do we make sure that, you know, we're actually delivering, because we grew so fast that, you know, the playbook that we built for something that was working perfectly. So if we talk about the demand side, the supply side, the operation side, the product, the technology. So if you build it for a business that has 10 to 100 customers, it's a totally different policy. It's a totally different process. It's a totally different product that works. When you go from 100 to 500, all of the things that were the best solutions out there are now the worst blockers. And then you have to unlearn and then build, you know, more scalable solutions. And then 500 to 1,000, 1,000 orders is a totally different ball game. And then when you move from 1,000 to 2,000 and 3,000, 4,000 orders, you know, every single day, it's a whole different ball game. And then you have to break your own processes, your own functionalities that were very dear to you, and then which were serving as a solution, to now build more scalable solutions. So I think scale is one challenge that I think we'll keep on facing. And
as you've mentioned, ke challenges bahut zyada scalability ko leke hain, and with how fast Dastagir has been growing, that will be a very significant challenge. And to counter that, you need a great culture within the organization as well. So I'm just curious to know, okay, aapne pichle kuch saalon mein, what kind of a culture has developed in Dastagir, and where, you know, how do you kind of see it growing in the future?
Bilkul. Bilkul. So we started like 12 months ago. There's a lot of learnings from the startup ecosystem in terms of culture, or the culture that we're trying to build here. We're definitely aiming to build a world-class culture, a culture that promotes entrepreneurship and creates a lot of value to everyone involved, to all stakeholders. So basically, it's a culture of constant learning, constantly experimenting fast, keeping the company first, the team second, and the individual third. Always being on the offense, trying to solve problems, never settling, and always assuming good intentions, because as we scale fast and helping each other grow. So, ye kuch values hain jo I think which help a lot in scaling fast, because if you actually live and breathe these values, I think the team is the team manages to become unstoppable and focuses on solving problems.
Absolutely, and we've seen with a lot of organizations jo ab kind of Pakistan mein bhi disrupt kari industry ko jis tarah se we had Kareem and Uber, they had some international examples to kind of follow. Does Dastagir also follow any kind of international organization that made it, and are those the values you also want to cultivate within the organization, or do you kind of just go completely your own way?
I think it's there are similarities in a lot of successful companies and a lot of successful operators. So it's more about being just a good bunch of human beings and staying true to who we are and actually trying to solve problems. So the similarities with, I think every growing organization has similarities with all of this. So we keep taking inspiration from multiple companies inside Pakistan, outside Pakistan, things that we read, things that we do feel are, need to be there.
Right. That I think makes complete sense. So I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier, you've been able to kind of provide even a credit line to a lot of retailers because of just the unique kind of data you've been getting in from just interacting with them, and of course you're solving a great problem for them, but also this data is not just unique, but it's in great quantity, and it's very, very specific at times as well. So, I mean, that must open an entire new world when it comes to growing the organization about what you can solve next. So what does the road ahead kind of show for Dastagir? Where do you kind of see yourself getting into in the next few years?
So I think we want to double down on the problems that we're solving. Like, these are huge, huge problems, and we haven't even tapped a fraction of it. So we want to continue becoming better and more scalable across the country, and then across other emerging markets, wherever there's, the problems are more or less the same. So we want to become an organization that is agile and can solve problems at massive scales in the months to come.
And do you see any a possibility of even future collaborations? Because the problem you're stating, it's a huge problem. And the more players you have kind of collaborations, partnerships with, the easier it gets to even eventually solving it.
Definitely. The ecosystem can only grow with collaboration. So we already do partner up with lending institutions who, offer credit solutions. So because we make it easier for them to find customers, because, it's harder for a lending partner to find, 40,000 retailers in one place. So that's how we collaborate to sort of you know, form synergies to solve a problem. And then we also saw partner up with logistics solution providers, and then you know, who then make the last mile delivery for us. So, you know, because it's then also harder for them to find, you know, 40,000 different people in the country, you know, access to them. So, so once we have that repository, and then, you know, they trust our brand, it is easier for that collaboration to flow through. So I think collaboration is definitely the way forward. And then we're always open to collaboration and form synergies to solve a pressing problem.
Right. So I want to conclude on an important note, and I think this is something which a lot of new and upcoming organizations can learn from, because just the way we see a lot of ex-Kareem or a lot of ex-Airlift people doing great things. Hopefully Dastagir can hold a similar tagline on people's LinkedIn as well. But I just want to know, okay, ye ek jo puri journey aapki gayi hai, isme a huge component was also the investment you guys were able to get to scale this, grow, to get the right people on. For upcoming businesses, could you kind of break down ye investment lene ka, investor ko sahi se pitch karne ka process kaisa hota hai, aur isme some of probably the mistakes a lot of small businesses or new or upcoming businesses make, and maybe something you've learned from it.
बिल्कुल सही. सो आई थिंक इन्वेस्टमेंट के लिए यू हैव टू, सो दिस इज अ कपल ऑफ थिंग्स व्हिच द टीम एक्चुअली नीड्स टू बी सुपर क्लियर ऑन. सो इट्स लाइक आपके पास यू हैव टू हैव द राइट सेट ऑफ टीम. यू हैव टू बी वेरी क्लियर ऑन द प्रॉब्लम दैट यू आर सॉल्विंग. द प्रॉब्लम हैज टू बी लार्ज इनफ एंड यू नीड टू हैव अ क्लियर प्लान ऑन हाउ यू वांट टू गो अबाउट सॉल्विंग द प्रॉब्लम. So I think, and then, you know, you have to always keep looking at the problem from an investor lens as well. Okay, yeah, why would an investor want to invest in a company? And then you have to sort of explain it to them that, you know, why is it such a big opportunity? Why is this such a pressing problem? And then, so there's two parts of it. A, the problem has to be large, and B, the team also has to have the right mindset that they'll be able to move with speed. So initially, bilkul early on funding, to it's more about the team and about the problem. Kyunki problem to bahut badi hogi, idea bhi bahut zyada logon ke mind mein aaya hoga. But then you have to have you have to be able to show execution, because execution is what matters. Okay, is this team really passionate about the problem that they're solving? Inko waqi mein fark padta hai. Ye log, are these the right people to be doing this? And then I think, and then of course, the second part is, kya, is this the right market? And if you have legitimate answers to these questions, then you go around thinking, I think internet is super powerful. You can just look it up on the internet, who are the right set of investors for your particular business. Depends on what industry you are in. And then this ecosystem, including startups, including investors, this is a super friendly ecosystem. You can reach out to founders, you can reach out to people from the early team of similar startups or similar companies, jo aap se thoda relevant ho, or you can reach out to investors jinhone aapke similar idea mein invest kiya ho, and people are super responsive and super helpful. So I think for businesses who are looking to start and raise investment, they need to be super clear on what they need to use the investment for, and then always reach out, always communicate, always reach out to people for advice. And then I think that's an endless learning process.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. I think you've really given some interesting insights. Ke Dastagir, what it's currently doing, the kind of levels of growth you're achieving and how you're dealing with that. And I think just to kind of end the whole thing, you've given a very good insight to a lot of new businesses which want to go on a similar route as Dastagir. So thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and Thank you to the viewers for watching. I hope you've had a good time. Do leave your feedback in the comments and we'll get back to you soon. Yaya, any last words maybe?
No, thanks a lot. Thank you, Aram, for having me. It was a great pleasure speaking with you.
All right. Thank you so much, Dafis. We'll be right back.